Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier coming live to you on this Monday morning. It is December 4th, 2017. It's good to be with everyone. Trust you had a great weekend this weekend. I believe we're going to have a wonderful broadcast today. I've got a dear brother that will be joining us here in just a moment, talking about a project that he has been involved with for a number of years. And make sure if you're a pastor or you've been in ministry or you're a laborer in the kingdom of God that you really tune in to this conversation this morning, because we are going to be talking about a time of rest for God's people. It was interesting this weekend that we were led in all of our services. We've been ministering Saturday, Sunday, radio, behind the pulpit. It's been an amazing weekend. And it seemed like the entire theme that God was presenting to his people is that we've entered into a season of refreshing and a time to repose and a time to rest and recuperate and a time to, you know, really, undo some of the tension, to tune it down a little bit. And this was very joyful, in fact, for a lot of people, because so many people are carrying around a lot of stress. They're high strung, they're tight, and God, you know, wants to do away with a lot of that and just bring a restoration and a refreshing to the body of Christ so that we can be better equipped for the days that lie ahead. And so without further ado, I want to bring in our brother Mike here today and let him go ahead and describe what he's been doing for several years. Brother Mike, good morning, sir. Welcome to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I thought it was interesting that this weekend, everything we did, now I'm just kind of recollecting our weekend, what the Spirit of God was saying to us corporately and individually about entering into rest. And you've been actually involved in preparing a project kind of lining up with that. Tell us about it.
Well, it started in 2005. In the fall of 2005, I was still at active duty in the Navy, and I was stationed in Guam, and the Lord gave me a vision. And what it was he showed me a home, and he said, I want you to build me a pastor retreat center in Theodosia, Missouri. I want you to name it Briar Creek. And he said, this will be your home, and it will be named Faith, because the place will be built on it. And then he showed me these other seven cabins that he wanted built. And he said, I want other fruits of my spirit on these cabins. He showed me love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. And then he said, put self-control on your garage to remind you not to fill it with a bunch of toys. Then he showed me a trail, and he called it the Name of God Trail, and he showed me certain of his names that he wanted on this trail. So that was the initial vision. And my first question living in Guam at the time was, where is Theodosia, Missouri? You know, I had never been there, never been in that part of the country. I grew up in Illinois, but, you know, other than that I-44 corridor, you know, I had never been to Branson. I'd never been to that southern part. And so I found Theodosia. It's a little town on the Arkansas border, right in the center of the state in Ozark County. And so the first thing I did was, well, like, well, I need to learn about this place. So I found that they were serviced by a paper in Ozark County. It was called the Ozark County Times. And so I started subscribing to that paper. And so that's how it originally started.
Well, Mike, that is, number one, an absolutely amazing story. I've heard of this before. I don't think it's ever happened to me, you know, that I can recall. But you're saying that while you're in Guam, you're getting a vision from the Holy Spirit about a place you've never been to, a place you've never heard of, and he actually puts the name of that town in your spirit to the degree that you after having the vision, you search it out and find out, now, where is Veadosha? And I am saying that right? V-E-A-D-O-S-H-A?
No,
is that how it
Theo.
Is?
It's Theo, Theodosia. And later, you know, I had a little bit of Latin in school, and so I knew Theo was God, and so I looked it up, and it actually means God's gift is Theodosia.
Theodosia, I love it. God's gift. All right, so you get this vision. You're in Guam, which is another interesting story. Guam is, we had some friends from Guam that actually are from Guam. But you come out here, you find this place, and what happens next?
Well, so the first thing that happened, I kind of need to get you back to Guam because there's a few things that happened there. One is, you know, I started talking to different people I went to church with about the vision, but, you know, there wasn't really much I could do there except for, you know, research as much as I could. I didn't know why he named it Briar Creek, and I was hoping that maybe it would give me a clue to the location of a property, you know, maybe there would be a creek named that or something. Well, as 2007 started approaching, that was the year I was going to be moved back to the States. My term in Guam was up. And I had to go somewhere for 3 years to fulfill my enlistment until I could retire. And I knew I was headed back to the state of Washington. And but the summer of 2007, so now it's been a year and a half since the vision, I decided, or I felt like the Lord told me, to write a letter to this one reporter at the Ozark County Times, because I was reading some of the, you know, different articles that she had written, and it sounded like she was born again, and I just felt led to write to her. And I told her, I said, you know, this is a vision the Lord gave me. I wanted to write you before I ever, you know, went there, just to document it with you. Also, do you know of a Briar Creek? Because I couldn't find any creek named that. And also, would you recommend a realtor? Because in the last year and a half, during that time period, my father had moved down to Arkansas. And so when he told me in 2006 he was moving there, I said, well, we're going to be neighbors then, because I'm going to end eventually be in Missouri. And so by 2007, we're looking at trying to meet up with him, because I hadn't seen him for several years. And so that summer, all these things were coming together with me writing this letter. My father was already in Arkansas at that point, and I said to my dad, I said, I've had two boys that need to get into school. And I said, Dad, I won't be able to see you right away when we move back to the States, but let's plan on me flying out to Little Rock and seeing you at Thanksgiving time. And so we already had plane tickets bought from Seattle to Little Rock for that Thanksgiving. And so that summer, I wrote that letter. And the reporter writes me back and says, wow, I can't believe this. This is awesome. I want to hold on to this letter, and I want to meet you guys whenever you come out here. She goes, I don't know of a Briar Creek, but there's thousands of little creeks in the Ozarks, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was one. And then she recommended this. She gave me the name of a realtor. And so I started to talk to this realtor, and you know, I in my mind, I'm thinking of what the Lord showed me, and I was thinking, you know, 10, 12 acres, you know, that's where the trail, you know, I wasn't thinking that big. And so that's what I told the realtor to look for. And so she was sending me stuff that she would get, and we're just looking back and forth on the internet. Anyway, we move, and right before we moved, there was a couple from Australia that were coming to the island of Guam for the wife was doing some training, and the husband was a contractor. And anyway, he took us, me and my wife, out to dinner before we moved. And he said, Michael, he goes, when are you going to Missouri? because he had heard me say the vision before. And I said, well, I'm going out in Thanksgiving. And he said, okay, well, that'll give me enough time. And I said, for what? And he goes, well, I'm going to pay the down payment on the property. And so that was humbling for us. We had never been somebody who had ever been given to before. We were always the ones who usually gave to others. But it was, to me, even another confirmation the Lord was behind this. And anyway, we moved in September. And in Thanksgiving, we fly out to Little Rock and left my boys with my dad, and me and my wife, we drove up to Theodosia for the first time. And the realtor had told us that she would devote that Friday and Saturday to us to show us everything. And so we went up there, and, you know, I felt like Abraham. I felt like I was arriving at a place where I knew I was going to end up being and living. And, you know, I'd never been there before, but it just felt so right, and it was just so exciting. It was like Christmas morning driving into that little town and seeing where things were at, where, you know, I read them in the paper. And the first thing the realtor told us was, she said, well, there's another realtor in town, and she's invited him to come with us, and he's going to show you his properties, and then I'll show you mine, and then you'll have seen them all, you know. And so we went to this first property, 10 acres, and, you know, you're in the middle of the woods. I mean, you're away from everything. And normally, you know, questions about easements and water and power, you know, those are the normal questions you would have for someone buying property like that. But my first question was, is this in Theodosia? And the guy says, well, no, this is actually in Thornfield, but we're closer to the town of Theodosia than Thornfield. And I said, yeah, this won't do. And so he's just looking at me like, you're crazy. Who cares what your zip code is, you know? And so we go to the next property, same question. And he said, no, it's not Theodosia. And he goes, it's probably not going to work. And I said, no. So he left. He had enough of that. And I go to the next property. And what I noticed was, when I started seeing the size of property, I just said to my realtor, I said, you know, I just don't think these are big enough. And because I'm thinking of this trail he showed me. And so she said, well, there's one other property that came available like 4 days ago. And she goes, but it's not in your price range. And I was like, okay. And it's 26 and a half acres. And so I said, well, why don't we go look at that? And so we start to drive there, and she hands me the packet for this property. And I look down, and I see the front cover has the MLS number, and it's my birth date. And so I thought, that's interesting. And then as we're driving, she starts to tell me that there's a county road that borders one side of the property, but you just can't drive, or you just can't walk into the property from the road. She said, there's just too many briars growing up in front. And so I thought, okay, there's the name Briar. So she told us we'd walk down the property line of the neighbors, and away from the road area up top is it's not as bad once you get below that with the briars. So we'll climb under a fence, you know, down the neighbor's property line, and then we'll be able to walk in. And so we did. And as we're walking through, there is one creek that goes through the property, and it's got a beautiful waterfall. But there's another creek that we walked over. It was feeding into that one. And I said, well, does this one have a name? And she said, no, I don't think so. And I turned to my wife and I said, well, maybe this will be Briar Creek. And then the realtor turns around and says, well, this is Briar Hollow. And at that moment, the Lord tells me, wow, I brought you to a place where there were briars and creeks. And so, wow, I knew that was it.
Wow.
And,
Let me just interject just for a moment for people just tuning in right now, listening to The Watchman. I'm on the line with Brother Michael, and he is telling the story about a vision that God gave to him while he was in Guam. He was in the Navy. He was stationed over in Guam. God gave him a vision, gave him the name of a county or a town that he wanted him to do a project in, told him the name of a creek called Briar Creek. He told him several other things, told him that Theodosia, Missouri, is where he wanted him to go. Mike never heard of Theodosia, hadn't been to Missouri before. And so He is now telling the story about coming back and searching for the property. And as he's searching for the property, all the little details that the Holy Spirit had been downloading to him are now beginning to manifest. This is joyful. Michael, let's go ahead and continue on. What happened next?
Okay, so we went back to her office in Theodosia, and I went in to use the restroom, and, you know, the realtor, she had no idea what we were buying the property for. I hadn't told her anything. And she started saying to my wife, you know, oh, you got to jump on this right away or it's going to be sold, and, you know, the normal realtor thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, well, I'll tell you right now, Mike's probably going to pray for like 3 days, 7 days even, if before he makes any decision. So, you know, if somebody else buys it, then that's God's will, you know. But I went into this bathroom, and I didn't even think I was even praying. And I just kind of threw it up. I said, well, Lord, what do you think? That's it. That's all I said. And right then he says, it's time to plant the mustard seed. And so I knew when he said that it referenced faith. And I thought, okay, you know. And so I come out, you know, and shocked my wife and everybody, you know, and I said, okay, I think we want it, you know. And so we bought the property and closed in January 2008. So we've had it since then. And but the neat thing that's happened after that is, you know, I had to do my 3 years in Washington, and then I retired from the Navy. And as my retirement gift, you know, I've got a lot of stuff the Lord's done prior to that vision happening. And I'd like to share a couple of them with you if we could later. But all these stories, people had told me, you really need to write this down in a book, you know, mm-hmm. all these things. And so as a retirement gift to my wife, I went ahead and finished the book. And so it's called Briar Creek, A Vision of Faith. And so it published in 2010. And in the back of that book is my email address. And after moving out to Missouri and living here for about a year, 2011, I get an email from a couple, and they said, hey, we're from Theodosia. We got a hold of your book, and we read it, and we really need you to call us. And so I called them. And at the time, they were visiting their son who's living up where we live, and he said, and they said, well, can we come over? We want to tell you something. So they came over. So lovely couple, they're in their 70s, and they come over to our house, and they said, you know, we were reading your book, and you told us, you said about that going into the bathroom and the Lord telling you it's time to plant the mustard seed. And they said, you don't know this, but that office used to be our restaurant. And we never really ever knew why the Lord had his name at the mustard seed.
Oh, my gosh.
Woo! I know.
I love that. Go ahead. You know, the story is compelling. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're on the line with Brother Michael. He had a vision given to him by God to build something for members of the body of Christ, and he's just sharing the vision of a supernatural encounter after another. A couple from Australia met him on the island of Guam. They were commissioned by the Holy Spirit to pay for the down payment of the property. They knew he had this vision, and we're just looking at the steps. Now he's in the bathroom of this very property, and he's talking to the Lord, and the Lord says, it's time to sow the mustard seed. Now this couple gets a copy of the book. And they talk with him and say, that used to be a part of our restaurant, and we called it the mustard seed. Absolutely amazing. Michael, please continue.
Okay, so I'm going to back up a minute. And when I first got the vision and I was first in Guam and I'm reading the Ozark County Times and learning about the place, the other thing is I didn't know anything about pastor retreat centers either. You know, I've never been a pastor, never been called to be one. And so I didn't really know much about that whole thing. And so, you know, here I am on the internet looking at these things. And what I noticed right away was the majority of them, if not all of them, were run by people who had either been pastors or were current pastors. And their whole ministry really kind of was around ministering to these men and women that, you know, maybe were ready to burn out. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, do you want me to be a pastor? You know, And he was very clear, and he said, no, I don't. And I said, well, how will I minister to any of these people? And he says, you won't minister to them, I will. He said, I just want you to love them for where they are. And so, you know, that's kind of put me off the hook on a lot of this stuff, because I'm just kind of backing up and saying, okay, I'm going to build it, and then you're going to do it, you know. And so I can't wait to see what happens when we finally get this thing going and we get pastors, because I just know we're going to hear stories that are just going to blow our socks off.
Well, amen. Amen. What an amazing journey. You know, it's exciting because this is like a biblical story. You know, this is a journey. This is the journey of a lifetime. And, you know, I don't know what you were doing prior to receiving the vision on the island of Guam. And is there any kind of lead up to why this vision came to you? Were you praying about things? Were you seeking God for anything particular?
The backstory to the whole thing. I grew up as a Catholic, and I was pretty devout at the time of when I was younger. Even considered the priesthood, you know, thought maybe the Lord might have a calling on that. But you know, I got into high school and I started dating girls, and I said, okay, that's not for me. And you know, and but the thing is I went into the Navy, and my wife was also Catholic, and we were getting ready to move to Italy stationed overseas, and my father had a heart attack. And I just went to the Lord, and it was the closest I had ever been to the Lord up to that point, because before it was all traditional things that I felt like it was important for me to go through the routine of things. And here I went with my heart to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I will turn my life over to you if you bring my dad out of this. I'm not ready for him to go. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Lord did bring him out. And you know what? Slowly, you know, over time, the Lord started putting people in our path. And, I had a brother in Guam that we went to the Catholic faith was dead there. It really was. And so we weren't getting anything out of anything over there that we were attending. So we started attending a home fellowship. They had like a Wednesday night Bible study at a guy's house, and we went there, and we were the token Catholics there. And, you know, they didn't put us down. They didn't, you know, they lovingly brought us in. And the only thing that my brother would say when I had questions about something was, he would say, you know what, just keep reading your Bible. And that was the best thing he could have told me, because you know, over there, I just started pouring into it. And it took about 6 months, and I describe it as, imagine having a brick wall that you've built up with a huge doctrine, and as you read the word, each brick starts to come off. Until you finally get to the point, and for me, it took about 6 months, to the point where I was just like, Lord, you just want a relationship with me. You don't need all this other stuff, you know? And so, you know, and my wife was coming to the same conclusion. And so we basically at that point said, you know what, we're just Christian. We're not anything else. And so we asked the person who was now kind of like our pastor, the home fellowship guy that he was starting to have church services in his home that we had started attending to at that point. We asked him to baptize us. So me and my wife got baptized in the Mediterranean, and so we came back to the States not knowing where to go to church. We'd never had to look for one before. And so we started looking, and I said, well, I would really like this kind of worship that we like, and I'd really like a Wednesday night service. I kind of like having that midweek thing. And so that's kind of what we were looking at. And so the first church we started attending was an Assembly of God, because it had the things that we liked, and we got really involved, and we were there for about 7 years, and all of a sudden, the Lord tells me to move to go down the street, basically, to this Baptist church, and I'm just like, what, you know, and so we did, and everybody in our church at the time were thinking we're probably backslidden or something. you know, but I tried to explain to them. I said, you know what, if I came to you and said the Lord told me to become a missionary in Africa, you would bring me down in front and lay hands on me and send me. I said, but I'm just telling you, I'm going down the street, you know. And so we went to that church, and you know what I found out? I found out that there was a real love for the word there, you know. Mm. And so I thought, man, if you could get a church that could love the power of God and love the word at the same time, boy, would that be a great church, you know. Mm. And but then the Lord moved us. Some of these moves were because of the military, but he moved us to an evangelical free church for a while. And while we were there, my wife and I had a little marriage ministry going. We went to a non-denominational one for a little bit. And eventually, at the time of the vision, the Lord had us at a Lutheran church in Guam. And I'm just like, I don't know why this is all happening. But when the vision finally happened, the Lord finally revealed to me, he says, I needed you to go to all these churches to break down the stereotypes that you had built up. He said, because my pastors are going to come from all these denominations and I love them all.
Wow.
And so, you know, so even though at that point, you know, I went back to my Pentecostal roots because I finally felt like the Lord released me from, you know, going to these other churches. And I really just loved the worship style that at the Pentecostal churches. So that's where we are now. But I'm telling you right now that Briar Creek is going to be, I can't wait to see the different denominations that the Lord will place, you know. But there's a couple things that happened in my life that I think were instrumental in me accepting that the Lord was talking to me, because I really believe that the Lord talks to everybody. It's just that a lot of us think it's ourselves, or it's crazy, or it's too hard, or something is an excuse for not having the faith to just go out and step out and say, you know what, I think the Lord does want me to do this. I'm going to just give it a shot, you know. And one of them was I was on submarines in the Navy, and I was underway, and I had this other brother with me that we would get together when we weren't on watch, and we'd pray and talk. And one day I went up to him, his name was Rob, and I said, Rob, I got this idea. When we pull back into port, I would like to go to a place like a park or something, and let's pray for God to tell us groceries to buy and just see what he tells us. And then we pray and we ask him to tell us where to take it. And let's just see what happens. And he goes, yeah, I'll do that. You know? So about a month later, we're back in port, and we go to this park, and Rob says, okay, I have a piece of paper, I have a notebook, and he says, okay, I want you to start writing down anything that comes in your mind when I start praying. I said, okay. So he starts praying first, and immediately these products just start flowing through my head. And so I'm writing them down, and they were specific products, not generic. Like, it wasn't like cereal. I mean, I heard like Cheerios life, you know. And so I wrote these products down, and he gets done praying, and I got a whole list. And then I said, okay. And then I prayed and asked him if he had anything. He says, no, I don't really have anything. And so we bought the groceries. But the thing about it is, as I'm writing these product names down, there was a couple things the Lord kind of showed me as I wrote it down. Like, when I wrote down cat chow, the Lord says, there'll be two cats on the porch. And then as I'm writing down this ice cream, frosting, cake mix, the Lord says, there'll be a celebration in this house soon. And then for some reason, throughout the whole list, the number 7 was important. And I didn't know why, but it just felt like the number 7 was important. So we went to the base to buy the stuff. So as we're leaving the base, the gate area, there's a neighborhood outside the gate, and Rob says, well, where do you want to go? And I said, well, let's just start driving through the neighborhoods. You know, I don't want to go to a poor neighborhood necessarily. I want to be led by the Lord. I know they're going to want it, you know, but I want him to tell me where to go. And so let's just drive around and look for cats. And so we start driving through the neighborhood, and about 10 minutes of that, we saw no cats. So Rob says, okay, well, let me pull over. We're going to pray some more. So we prayed some more. And after we got done praying, he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of afraid to tell you what I'm thinking is." I said, I feel like the Lord's telling us to go to this mobile home park on the other side of town, which is a poor neighborhood, you know. And he said, "Okay, let's go." So we go over there, and we get there, and we see that there's a – it's like a circular kind of layout. And then in the circle, in the middle of that is a drive that goes through the middle of it. I said, "Well, let's go around the circle first." And so we went around the circle and looked for cats and didn't see any. And so as we drive into the middle lane, the center drive, we get to the first mobile home, and there's one cat on the porch. And I remember the address said 28, and he stops in front of me and he goes, "Well, there's a cat." And I said, "Well, there's supposed to be two of them." And I don't know if the 7's part of an address, but, you know, it's not that, you know. And so I said, "No, we keep going." So we went down, and we get to the second to last mobile home before we've seen them all. And there's two cats on this porch, and there's the unit next to it said 72, but this unit didn't have a number on it, but it was probably 70. And I thought, okay, it's got to be it, you know. And so we get to it, and the carport's empty, so it doesn't look like anybody's home. But we pull in, and we get out, and we're like, "Oh, man, I'm really kind of feeling silly right now." So Rob says, "Well, should we pray some more, you know?" And just then, the door opens, and this lady opens the door, and she's got a little toddler in her arm, and she says, "Can I help you guys with something?" And my friend Rob, he says, "My name is Rob," and he tells her her whole name. He says, "I go to this Peninsula Bible Fellowship, and this is my catcher, and he goes to Olympic View Assembly, and we were out today praying, and we felt like the Lord wanted us to buy these groceries and bring them here. So we're not trying to get you to go to our church or anything. Just if you want them, no obligation, you know." And she's like, "Yeah, I want them." And so we start to bring them in. And as I'm going through the door, she stops me. She says, "Where did you say you went to church?" And I said, "Oh, I go to Olympic View Assembly over here in Silverdale." And she said, "Well," she goes, "well, then maybe you know my mom." And I was like, "Well, who's your mom?" And she tells me her name, and I said, "Of course I know her." And so here I am, her mother, you know, is an older lady at church that is always by herself. Wow. And on Wednesday nights, we would have like an informal type of prayer where we would stand up for prayer needs. And every Wednesday, she would stand up and she said, "Please pray for my husband and my daughter who aren't saved." And here I am standing in the living room of a girl I've actually prayed for that I never knew or met. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm not only going to see this today happen, but I'm going to know what happens after I leave because I know her mom. And so we give her stuff, and we prayed with her, and we left. And so the next morning at church, her mom comes running up to me. And so this is the backstory. On Friday night of that weekend, the daughter's father, or this lady's husband, told his wife, "We can't help our daughter anymore. She's got to be on her own. I don't want you to give her any more money." And, you know, they got to turn her husband, they need to figure it out or something. And so the mother, Saturday morning, is talking to her daughter, and her daughter's like, "You know, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next few weeks." And the mother's like, "I'm sorry, your father just told me I can't help you, you know." And so the daughter hangs up the phone, and she says, "God, if you're for real, you'll take care of us."
Wow.
And right then, she tells her mother, these two guys show up. And so she tells her how, and she's on the phone with her mother, and she's pulling out these products, and she's like, "You know, this is Chelsea's cereal, this is her husband's type of shaving cream, you know, all these things that they would have had the need for their grocery list was perfect." And she told her mother there were 7 bags. And that's when I realized, oh, that's what the 7 was. I didn't even think about how many bags we had. And, but while I was in her home and she had told me I knew her mother, I asked her, I said, "Is there going to be a celebration in this house soon?" And the girl says, "Well, my daughter Chelsea turns 2 next week." And I told her that there was ice cream and cake mix and frosting and all that in the bags. And she started crying. And obviously that's what led us to pray at the end of it, to tell you that. But anyway, this simple act of faith ends up bringing this daughter and her family to the Lord. And so the Lord started having me do those kind of things. And so the book is full of stories of one after another, of lessons he taught me. And so by the time that the vision came, you know, I'd heard his voice plenty of times already. And I said, okay, this isn't me. This is stuff that I don't think about. I wouldn't come up with this on my own. And so I learned to start trusting it and said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I have to admit right now that this is a perfect time to say this. If I didn't have my wife's support on any of this stuff, it wouldn't have happened. Because it would have been very easy if she would have said anything doubtful and said, well, are you sure? Or how are we going to pay for that? Or any of those kind of things. I can tell you right now that it would have just deflated my spirit. And I would have said, okay, yeah, you're probably right. You know? And if I didn't have that, we wouldn't have been able to do the things we're doing. But she also saw the track record that the Lord had in doing some of these other things. And so that's what got us to that point. I'm not any more spiritual than anybody else. I will admit I fail every day. And so I really believe everybody has a voice that God is speaking to them. Any born-again person should be hearing from him. And you know what? If he tells you, hey, I need to write a book, you know, do it. You know, just go for it. You know, if he tells you you need to open a restaurant, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, what you quote-unquote ministry, you know, think that a ministry should be. It's he tells us to do a lot of things.
Michael, your testimony here is just becoming more miraculous as it goes on. You've been living the life of miracles, and it's been a real journey. And it's interesting that you just kind of finalized that thought with, you know, if God tells you to do something. Yesterday, we had a service where it was out of 1 Kings chapter 19, and it was all about God giving assignments to his people for this season to advance and to accelerate his purpose in the earth. We know that the earth is getting dark. We know that there's a tremendous amount of, you know, activity and violence and blowing winds, et cetera, et cetera. But Father is saying he has a work to get done. He wants to employ his people into this work. He wants to assign them and authorize them to do what he's called them to do. And here you are now talking about, hey, if you're born again, God's given you a voice and do what he tells you to do. And that is extremely important for this time. And here you are. Let's go back to the beginning again. You are in Guam. You receive a vision from the Lord. He tells you the name Theodosia, Missouri. He tells you he wants you to go and build a retreat of sorts for pastors or people in the ministry. He tells you the name Briar Creek. He guides you through a couple in Australia. They come to you in Guam and they say they want to pay for the down payment of your vision, the land that you're going to buy. You find the land. It's exactly the way God calls it to be. You write a book about this. You have all of these experiences taking place. And now let's, you know, kind of catch up to speed here. Where are you right now in the vision? I mean, when you talk about having this assignment given to you, which is exactly what it is, an assignment to prepare for ministers of the gospel that need to be built up themselves or rest or whatever the case may be. How far along are we at this time?
Well, when we first went to move here, and this would be in 2010, the summer of 2010, and we're driving from Seattle to Missouri, and we had picked a home in Nixa because we were trying to – I knew I still had to work and find a job. And so, you know, I just wanted to get somewhere in the country closer to the property so I could still try to work on it. And, you know, I was thinking Little Rock, St. Louis, Kansas City even. But a job ended up coming up for me that was pretty good, and it was in Springfield. So we went ahead and bought a home in Nixa, and so we were going to live there until we could get our place built down there. Because we really didn't know how we were going to do it. I mean, everything has been just it's kind of like you work on something, the Lord opens doors, and then it's like the doors get shut, and you're not sure why. And so as I'm driving out here, though, the Lord told me, he says, you're going to go through a period in the wilderness. And I thought, oh, that doesn't sound very fun, you know. But, you know, I'm like, okay, you know. And as we got here, we went to a church, and the church got behind it, and we had a lot of volunteers, and we're clearing land, and we're starting to build a barn, and different things are happening. And this church even paid for the well to be drilled, right? And
wow.
And so things are happening, and then all of a sudden they stop. And I'm just like, I understand, you know, I don't understand, Lord, what's going on. And I thought, at the time, I thought he was trying to teach me patience. And so a key thing that happened during that time was one of the things that the Lord has shown me up to this point was that, remember the seven cabins with the fruits of the Spirit. The churches that the Lord had sent me to, those different denominations, he also showed me how I had had seven pastors and that their ministries were very reflective of certain fruits. And so he kind of showed me how, you know, this pastor is your gentleness pastor and this one's your patient pastor and this one, you know, so I could see a correlation even through their ministries. I was like, wow, you're right. You know, and so the patient pastor was the one that I originally went to when we moved back from Italy, and it was the Assembly of God pastor. And in the process of coming out here, that pastor had passed away, and he had died of cancer. And his wife still wrote to me, and she would every now and then send me a check of like $10. And she said, I know it's not much. I want you to help you with Briar Creek and just buy a box of nails, you know. And so one of the letters I wrote to her, I said, I don't know if I ever told you this, Janie, but when the patient's cabin gets built, I said, I'd really kind of would like something from you and Larry that I could put in this cabin, maybe a wedding photo, something, you know, something personal. And I said, so just think about that, you know. And she writes me back and she says, oh, I'm going to find a picture of an eagle soaring through the clouds. And I thought, oh, she doesn't get it. You know, I wanted something personal. And all week long, I'm thinking about this, like the Lord's wanting to teach me about something here. And so finally, about a week into it, I'm praying one morning, and I was like, Lord, am I missing something here? You know, because it's something that won't come, it just won't leave my mind. I'm thinking about this picture that Janie said she wants to send for the cabin. So then the Lord says this to me. He goes, when you were a child, you used to play a game. What animal would you be? And he says, what animal did you always choose? And I said, an eagle. And he said, why did you choose an eagle? And I said, because I wanted to fly. He said, why did you want to fly? Because I thought it'd be fun. He says, the eagle's not having fun when he's flying. He's having fun when he has a rodent in his claws on the ground. He says, when the eagle's flying, he's looking for opportunity. He's being patient. And I thought, oh, wow, you know. And so at that point, the Lord tells me, he goes, what would you do to have fun in the ministry? Since obviously Briar Creek is being delayed right now. And I said, well, I'd go on a mission trip to India. You know, there's some guys that are going over there right now, and they're just seeing a lot of people getting saved. And so the Lord says, okay, for the next year, save your money and go to India. He says, besides, Briar Creek's becoming an idol to you. And so for a whole year, I didn't even go down to the property. I just, all the extra money we saved, we saved it, and we went to India, and oh my gosh, I got more stories. We could do another hour show with that. But I came back from that, and I thought, okay, God's going to open doors now, you know, I did this. And right as soon as I got back, my wife's kidneys failed. And so we started this whole long process of her going through dialysis, and eventually last summer she got a kidney transplant. And this May, she was finally healed of all of it. And so, you know, this whole journey of being in Missouri at this point has been start, stop, start, stop. But one of the things, and this is the other story I want to tell you, when I was going through the thing with my wife and nothing was happening with Briar Creek, I didn't even want to talk to people about it anymore, you know, because every time somebody say, hey, what's going on with the retreat? And I just say nothing, you know, and I was just so depressed, you know, because it's like, Lord, I don't understand this, you know. Mm-hmm. And one morning I'm literally crying and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I know I heard from you. I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't know why this is happening. you know, and I'm thinking I'm going to lose my wife at this time too. And the Lord says this to me. He goes, two things. He says, first of all, he goes, I want Briar Creek more than you do. And then he says, but even Abraham had to bury his father first. And I knew exactly what he meant. He didn't mean I had to bury my dad. I didn't need to bury my wife. What he meant was, this is the time for you to take care of your family. And so I thought, okay, I'm not going to worry about Briar Creek anymore. I'm just going to take care of my family. And when you open the door, Lord, I'll be ready. And so this interview with you, the me going down to Theodosia and preaching about the vision, different resources have been coming our way. All these little paths are all starting to come together right now. And that's what's happening. Since May, since my wife finally turned the corner, we've just been going full-blown, and things are starting to move. And so we have contractors that will begin the faith house will be started, and the first cabin is Gentleness, and that will be built at the same time so we can start taking in pastors. And so we'll be looking at that in 2018.
Absolutely amazing. And Mike, it would only be right to explain how you and I are having this conversation right now, which is due to a relationship with a gentleman by the name of Pastor Burl Norton. And when we moved here to Arkansas from San Diego 8 years ago, and we were building our project, our ARC, it was Pastor Burl Norton that I would bring onto the radio. We'd have some interviews, and I always noted what a gentle man, a gentle servant of God he was. And he was always extremely kind to me, very encouraging. He walked a little bit with me through some of the fires and challenges in our beginning here. And all of a sudden, years have gone by. He contacts me a couple of weeks ago and tells me about this gentleman, Michael, who has a vision and is doing something, and maybe we need to talk. And we spoke on the phone last week, and here we are on the phone today. And I am basically sitting here looking into a mirror of your life. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me, and I'm overjoyed by it because there's been such a similarity to what God is putting in your heart to do and what you are doing to what we have done. In fact, Patricia and I, my wife, we're talking this morning about Italy. We'd been to Italy a couple of times. I had my time with the Navy, like you did. I grew up as a Catholic, and so did Patricia, as you did. I was born again in a home fellowship, as you went to a home fellowship. We are non-denominational, and God said, I am Christ. Don't put anything else around your neck, 35 years ago. And we have an actual ordination from the Independent Assemblies of God. And so I'm looking at all of the different similarities to what God is doing with you and the vision of the eagle, the building of this project. And the only thing I want to say is I know that with you and our Father, great success will come to that project. And I will continue to pray for open doors of opportunity. I think there's some people listening today that probably find what you're doing very interesting. And what an amazing journey. And your wife had to go through that ailment, man. That's got to be the toughest thing in the world to walk through. But it certainly sounds like I would open up a chapter in the book of Genesis somewhere and see the story of Michael. You know, what an amazing faith journey you have been on. So I'm marveling at it, and I'm looking forward to our time together. Tell us a little bit more. How would you kind of wrap up the story at this time? What would you want to share with people about the project? How can people get in touch with you? Is there anything to look at, or where are we at this point?
Okay, well, first I do want to bring up Pastor Burl. I agree. He's a very gentle spirit, and it was very refreshing to meet him. And how it happened was his church, the Fountain Church, it started in this last year, and it's like in a strip mall in Theodosia, and part of that strip mall there's a flea market, and I've gotten to know the lady who owns it, and so when I first started sharing the vision with her years ago, as I would come to Theodosia, we would go into town and have lunch or whatever, and I would talk with her, and she would get caught up on the project and everything. But she was the one who told me, she says, you know, this vision sounds a lot like what other people have had for this area. And And she brings up Corrie Ten Boom and Grimm, and I'd never heard of her yet, you know. And she starts talking about her ministry and Prayer Mountain that's on the border of Arkansas, Missouri. And so I finally find a book, and in it references this thing from Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know the year it was, but I'm thinking it was in the 60s, 70s. But the story is that she was flying over the States, and she looked out her window, and she saw these shafts of light shooting up from the ground. And she asked the people she was with, she goes, "Where are we right here?" And they said, "Well, we're on the Arkansas-Missouri border, east of Branson." And she said, "Well, this is going to be a place of refuge in the future, in the end times." And so, you know, this lady at the flea market had shared that with me, and so then I started looking at Prayer Mountain, and, you know, and it's really interesting how you can go from Prayer Mountain and draw a line directly east. You get on Google Earth and you follow directly east another 17 or so miles, and there's Briar Creek property, you know. And so you're just like, what is the Lord doing in this Missouri-Arkansas area, you know? So,
Mike, is Prayer Mountain Billy Brim? Is that her name?
Yes, yes.
That's her ministry. And you need to know, when we came here 8 years ago, the very first thing we were told was about Corrie Ten Boom and her flying over this region, saying the same exact thing about a refuge. And this was after we had already moved here. And so, again, the similarities of the story about a refuge. And my goodness. Yeah, go ahead.
I know. And so when we went down to visit Theodosia back in, I think it was in September when we were down there, and we ran into our friend, and she says, "Oh, I'm so glad you guys are here." Because, you know, she hadn't seen my wife, Gretchen, for a number of years now, because every time I had ever come to the property, it was without her, because she was doing dialysis four times a day, because she was doing it at home. It wasn't the blood dialysis. It was it was called PD dialysis. I don't know if you know much about that, but it was just, you know, it was just time consuming. She had no life. I mean, here she went from being an aerobics instructor and going to basically unable to do anything, you know? But she hadn't seen her. And so my wife went with me, and we went down to see our friend Judy, and we just said, we told her, you know, everything that was going on. And she goes, "I can't believe you guys are here, because my pastor and his wife are here, and I want you to meet them. I just told them your story a couple weeks ago." And so we sat down with Pastor Burrell and his wife, and met with them, and I shared with them. And so as we're driving home back to Nixa, he calls me, and he says, "Hey, we're praying," and he said, I feel like the Lord's, you know, wanting us to have you come to our church and share this vision with our congregation." And he said, "Would you be interested in that?" And I said, "Definitely, you know." And so we worked out a date, you know, that would work for us. And November 5th ended up coming up as the date. And so we planned that date, and I hang up the phone. And just then the Lord tells me, "You are aware that the vision came to you on November 5th. And so here I was speaking at his congregation on November 5th, exactly 12 years to the day of the vision.
And
so
was it
I was just
past
like,
November 5th? Was it 2017?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, but leading up to me talking to that congregation, I got a hold of the reporter from the Ozark County Times again, and now she's the editor. And I said, "Hey, I'm going to be speaking at this church." And, you know, she remembered me, my letter and everything. And she said, "I still have that letter, you know." And so she wrote an article about the whole thing. She finally put it in print, and you know, and invited people to come to the service on the 5th. And so that's another thing that's happened in the last few months, you know, that the Lord's opened up and got people down there thinking about it. So as far as what they can see, I have a Facebook page called Briar Creek Retreat. And you can see pictures of the things we're doing there right now. And if you go on Facebook, you can see what we're doing. And I'm going to give out my email address, because it's the same email address that I put in the back of my book, if anybody's interested. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord really has been providing. And so I don't want people to think this is like me trying to get support money-wise, because I really, really want prayer more than anything. And I'm serious about that, because the Lord is doing the things he has to do, you know? My email is briarcreekretreat@gmail.com. And so if you want prayer, you want me to pray with you, if you want to, you know, give me any kind of counsel, anything, I'm open to anything.
Mm. You know, it's absolutely amazing. And I'll repeat that information again, that here you are. Now, you didn't know Burl Norton was living there, that he was a pastor, that he was there in that church. And all of a sudden, here you are meeting a man by the name of Pastor Burl Norton, and he and I have a relationship. You and I are on the phone today sharing somewhat of a common vision. And, you know, I really believe that this is a very holy moment, a very sober moment. And what a joyful thing to know that God is doing something, and he's got assignments all over the world. And Brother Mike, I want to just thank you, man, from the bottom of my heart for coming on the air. And what I'd like to do is keep the line open here on the Omega Radio Network so that you and I can have further conversations to see the progress. If you're listening today, again, what is your last name, Michael?
It's Hatcher, Michael Hatcher.
Okay, Michael Hatcher. I had that written down and I missed it. So Michael Hatcher. And what you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is go to Facebook and type in Briar Creek. That's B-R-I-A-R Creek Retreat. And all the pictures will come up there. I've already been on the internet looking at it. And if you would like to contact Michael Hatcher, go to his Gmail account. Email him at briarcreekretreat@gmail.com. It's that simple. First name is Michael. And what a great interview, man. I appreciate it. And I thank you for joining me on the air. And I will bring a call to you, Michael, and I hope the day comes that we get a chance to meet each other face to face.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just let you know again that this is a miraculous interview, really. This is so refreshing, because this is the way that it has to be. This is the activation of the body of Christ, and God has an assignment for you. God has something specific that he wants you to get involved with, and at some level, in some way, and the Lord is doing things with people that we haven't even met yet, but God is beginning to network people from around the world, I believe. This is a time of action to accomplish God's purposes, and he is going to accelerate it. Do you remember last Monday, by the way, that our conversation last Monday, a week ago today, was a prophetic word that God was going to put the pedal to the metal. He was going to increase the speed. He was going to accelerate and rev up in our hearts something having to do with his purpose. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes these type of interviews and conversations and connections with individuals. So, hey, be ready for whatever it is that God is ready to do in your life. Yourself wide open to the Lord. And I just am positive that he is going to inscribe in the very fleshly tablets of your heart by the finger of God himself, the assignment, the message that he wants to get to you to show you the way to go. As you know, you've been listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Up next will be Patricia Joy, Deliverance Roundtable Discussion. And throughout the day, you're going to continue to hear programs from Jake McCandless. You're going to be able to hear from Christopher Manti, Pastor Ted Marshall. It just keeps going on and on. It's getting better and better. Please keep in prayer this Omega Radio Network. Please secure it with your prayers. Please pray for it. Please pray for the, you know, just all the slots that we have available will be filled up, and that the voice of God will go through this platform to the ends of the earth to minister to people of every race, all of God's people, and people that need to get saved as well. There are some amazing programs on this radio station already. They need to be supported. This radio station needs blessings. bless it. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. We're on the journey of a lifetime. Get ready for the activation. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, right here. Until then, shalom and God bless you.